Thank you for listening to a recorded worship service of Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Our church is located just outside Adamstown, Pennsylvania.
We hope this service points you to Jesus, and we invite you to come worship the Lord with us.
Gaiman Mennonite Church.
Enjoy the service.
Good morning and welcome to our service. I invite you to turn in the Mennonite hymnal to number 590, and I would invite you to stand for this hymn, please.
Invite the ushers to come forward for this morning's offering. Just the last line of the refrain there just brings back what David Shank's message this morning in Sunday school was about our salvation, full and alone, has come through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for that truth. Thank you for your Son. And only for your Son, Jesus, do we have the forgiveness and peace that he brought to us through the cross. Thank you that we can give a portion of what you've given to us for our work, give back to you, to your work in your kingdom. We pray especially for our ministry through Freedom Gate this month, as we provide the Bible studies and groceries for the Freedom Gate ministry. I pray you would bless those who prepare the food, those who provide, those who lead the studies, that you would give grace and ministry to these men as they look forward to getting back into society. We lift this time to you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. I believe that there is a children's church this morning, so you guys are welcome to head down to that. Give me a second here while I get set up. Thank you, Randy, for that journey back in time. Yeah. If nothing else this morning, you guys are going to leave, hopefully, with one thing engraved in your mind, in your head, and you probably already know what that is. Conquer. Are you getting it? Okay. So this morning, what I want to do is, so my family loves to watch something on YouTube, a couple of guys called Rhett and Link, who have a show called Good Mythical Morning. And what they do on there is a thing called Will It, where they typically take a food or a drink and maybe change part of it out or infuse something into it and digest it to see if it will, whatever. For example, one of my favorite ones is ice cream. They take mustard, put mustard in it, eat it, or something even crazier, like with the ice cream one, they did frog legs. So they have frog legs with ice cream on top and frog meat mixed in the ice cream, and then they sprinkle it with like insects and stuff, and they actually eat it and test it to see if it will ice cream. So this morning, we're going to take a few topics from Romans 8. If you want to turn to Romans 8, you can. And we're going to see if they will conquer. So the first subject that we're going to look at today is the law. Will it conquer? So if you guys have your Bibles, to Romans 8, verse 1. Therefore. Now, any time that there's a therefore, you need to go back and see what the therefore is therefore. So back in chapter 7, Paul is talking about this struggle that he has where the things that he doesn't want to do, those things he does, and the things that he does want to do, those are the things that he doesn't do. And this is the struggle that the law creates within us. We struggle with wanting to do what we should do and not doing what we shouldn't do. You know, the law, the thou shalt not, thou shalt, that law. Now, before we get mixed up too much, the law is a good thing. Paul says in chapter 7, verse 14, we know that the law is spiritual. I mean, if we think about it, where did the law originally come from? Where did the Ten Commandments come from? God, right? So God created the law. The law was originally a good thing. It's not a bad thing, but the law has no power to save us, no power to help us. All the law can really do is point out to us that we're sinners. We're all sinners, and it just condemns us. There's no power there to help us or to save us. So let's read on. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in sinful man in order that the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. So, the law just makes us... So last week, let me give you an example. Well, if we're driving, the speed limit, say the speed limit's 35. If we come up to somebody who's only driving 35, we want to either pass them or tell them to get off the road or whatever. But that's the limit. The max is 35. But we should at least be doing, you know, 5, maybe 10 over. Last week, we went to Indian Echo Caverns, which is a cave that you go into that at some point you're 100 feet below the ground. And I don't know if I went to this cave or a different cave as a kid. I remember going into a cave and they tell you don't touch the sides because the oils on your skin will come off and dry everything out. Now, if you ever go into one of these caves, it's that wet in there. Water's dripping down on you as you're going through. And when I was a kid, I believed it. Now, at this age, now going in, I didn't believe that I'm going to, by me touching it, I'm going to dry the place out. So I wanted to touch the sides because I was told not to. And I'm not going to tell you whether I touched the sides or not, because if I told you I did, that probably wouldn't be good for a pastor to tell you he did something he shouldn't do. But I'm also not going to tell you I didn't do it, because it wouldn't be good for a pastor to lie either. But while the law has no power to save us, through Christ, there is no condemnation in us through that. So the law, will it conquer? No. Next, we're going to look at the Spirit, and will it conquer? Let's pick up back in verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Now, Jesus had talked about in some of the Gospels about if they would cast an evil spirit out of a person and just leave that person go, leave their body void, don't fill them with Christ and the Holy Spirit, that evil spirit will come back, find this person's body still vacant, take 7 more evil spirits with it and take up residence in this person again, leaving the person worse off than they were originally. And the same is true with our minds. Our minds are a battleground, and it's not enough to just take the junk out and just leave our minds void. We need to fill our minds with things that, like it says, we set our minds on the things that the Spirit desires. If we just take the junk out and leave it go, it'll filter back in through, and that's what we will be thinking about again. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So what does the Spirit desire that we set our minds on? Philippians 4:8 gives us a fairly good description. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. Now, this is something that is not easily done. It takes practice. It takes work. We need to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. We'll pick back up in verse 9. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. The Spirit of God, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Now, I want to share something with you that we talked about this morning in Sunday school in our class. Verse 12 says that we have an obligation, and not to be confused with salvation being a free gift that we are freely given, freely to receive, but an obligation, once that is received, to live lives that are pleasing and holy to God. I kind of use this example that when I got married, I married Carolyn. I didn't marry the covenant of marriage. I married her. And while I'm still free to be me, I have an obligation to live a life that is pleasing to her as well. I can't just run off and do anything I want. I have an obligation to that, but I was free to choose to have that relationship with her. But here then, at the end of these verses, we're promised two things in Christ. One is that we will receive the Holy Spirit, and along with receiving the Holy Spirit, we also will receive the promise of future glory. I think that's a pretty awesome thing to really think about. Now, if in 2 Corinthians 5:5, now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So if something is available for you to purchase, to buy, that you really want, you can, most places will offer you to make a down payment, so that it guarantees that you get one when it comes out. And you go there, maybe they give you a slip of paper or whatever, and you say, yep, here, I paid my down payment. I'm here for this. They take your ticket, they go back, they get one for you. If you just show up on that day and say, I'd like to buy this, they might say, oh, sorry, we're sold out. They probably have some in back, but they're reserved for the people who made the down payment. And this is what God is saying he's doing. He wants to have you in his kingdom, and so he's giving you the Holy Spirit as a down payment, saying, you're mine. When I'm ready to receive you, I paid my down payment on you, and you are his. I think that's an awesome thing to think about. But now, while we are, it says we're co-heirs with Christ, so we are sharing in his glory. While we are sharing in that, we have to remember that there's also suffering involved in that as well. We share in Christ's suffering as well. And that's the thing that we would really like to forget about. We would prefer to read the verse this way. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, co-heirs with Christ. I mean, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share, blah, 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 in his glory. And just leave the suffering out. Maybe you guys have heard this past week. It's been, I've seen it a lot in the news and on Facebook and those things about Iceland. Iceland has almost eliminated Down syndrome from its society. Unfortunately, it's through abortion. And unfortunately, America, Iceland has almost a 100% abortion rate when they determine that there is some abnormality or something that could cause Down syndrome or another defect. America is at 67%, so we can't brag too much on ourselves there. But we watched a special on this, Iceland, and there was a lady that they had interviewed who she would counsel people after they have an abortion. And the thing that really struck me, kind of made me sad to think about, was she said that she likes to look at abortion essentially as it was a possible life or a family that will not have to suffer because of having an abortion. They will avoid the future suffering. So we like to just wipe out any suffering from our lives, essentially playing God. John 16:33 Jesus tells us that in this world you will have trouble. It's essentially a promise. And I think we all know that. I had shared at a Friday night skate one time a few years back, Dave Knowles, he spoke here about Friday night skate. I don't know if you guys remember what that is or not, but I had spoke there. So it's predominantly, I would say, non-Christian kids, non-churched kids. And I remember sharing that verse and hearing one kid, I don't know exactly what he said, but it was something like, well, duh. So even non-Christians get that there's trouble, I mean, there's struggles in the world, and that's what we're going to have. So, but before we look into that too much, the Spirit, will it conquer? Yes. All right. Now, let's look at sufferings. And will sufferings conquer? Verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. So there is no point in trying to compare with our current sufferings and struggles with what is to come. And I have an example here. It's like comparing apples and bananas. You can't compare the two other than the fact that they're both fruit. But I didn't use an orange because oranges are round and I thought they're a little too much like an apple. But they're not even the same shape. You eat them differently. These you just bite into and eat. These you got to peel. I wouldn't recommend eating the outside part. Apples, you can compare, I think this is a Gala apple and Yellow Delicious. You can compare them. You can compare yellow bananas with brown bananas. But you can't compare the two. They're two totally different things. The same is true with our struggles and our sufferings. There's no comparison to this future glory that we're promised through Christ and the Holy Spirit. And whatever those struggles may be, we all have our own individual struggles. Rocky Balboa. Yo, she got gaps, I got gaps, together we fill gaps. Talking about Adrian, essentially they both have issues. We all have issues. There's no escaping that. We're promised that, I don't know if you want to say promised that, but Christ tells us that in this world we're going to have trouble. But none of that holds a nickel next to the future glory that awaits us. Picking up in verse 23, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Adoption back in this time among the Romans and Greeks was very common. And along with the adoption into the family, you got all the perks of a birth child, including the inheritance. And I think this is kind of tying together with being a co-heir with Christ. We're getting all the perks of Christ in being adopted into Christ's family, being adopted into God's family. And that's part of sharing in His future glory that we are promised through the Holy Spirit. Verse 26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. How many times have you wanted to pray for someone or something, and you can't come up with the words, you don't know exactly how to say it? The Holy Spirit is there interceding for us, essentially putting words in our mouth, praying for us. Verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Now, for me, this is where it gets a little bit tough. How do we take all these sufferings and these struggles and say, God's working it all for good? I think it's fairly simple when it's like, say, you're driving and you get stuck in a traffic jam and you find out there's an accident up ahead, and then you say, well, you know, if I'd have been 5 minutes earlier, that could have been me. So God worked that out for good there. But, and Joseph, when he was sold as a slave by his brothers, and he was falsely accused and falsely imprisoned, at the end of his, or towards the end, after he rose to prominence again and was reunited with his family, he told his brothers, you intended to harm me, but God intended this for good. It's easy when we can look back on a situation like that and everything turned out all right, and we can say, yeah, God worked it out for good. But what about when we see a child who was abused, or a disease ravages our body, or cancer takes the life of a loved one? How do we live that out and say God is working it out for good? I don't have an answer for you, but all I can tell you is that what Paul is saying here is that holds nothing next to the future glory that is awaiting us. These three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're pretty miraculous guys. You probably all know the story. They were going to be thrown into a fiery furnace that was that hot that if you got close to it, you were going to die. And these guys went into there saying, our God is able to save us, but even if He does not, now to go on to finish that, they said, even if He does not, we're still not going to bow down and worship you, Nebuchadnezzar, which is like, well, pretty obviously, because they would be dead, so they couldn't worship Him. But that's not what they're saying. What they're saying is they are going to worship God to their death. They know that God can save them, but even if He chooses not to, they're not going to turn from them. They're not going to say, God, because You didn't spare me this suffering, You didn't spare me this sorrow, this pain, I'm going to forget You. I'm done. They're going to worship God knowing that He has the power to save them, and even if He doesn't, there's a purpose for that, and He's still they're still going to choose to worship Him. Can we live our lives that way? Can we face our struggles and say our God is able to save us, but even if He chooses not to, we're still going to worship You through that? Sufferings, will it conquer? Verse 37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Sufferings, will it conquer? No. And lastly, the love of God, will it conquer? Verse 38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Or maybe we can look at it this way. For I am convinced that neither our dead-end job or our annoying classmate, or our frustrating college professor, or our past that we hope no one ever finds out about, or our past that we wish no one knew about, or our fears, or abuse, or rape, or divorce, or diseases, or Alzheimer's, or cancer, or anything, nothing, none of that is going to be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Will it conquer? Yes. Now if you guys will bear with me a minute, I want to share with you. So I got the t-shirt. I got on my phone, my background is the same conquer that is on there. This has been something that I kind of adopted for myself about a year ago. As many of you know, a year ago I had half my thyroid taken out and we didn't know what it was initially, and so that's a scary time, and I still I feel like Paul sometimes when he said he had this thorn in the flesh. I still have this struggle in the back of my mind where every time something doesn't feel right, I'm convinced that, okay, this is probably the end. And I feel like that's my thorn in the flesh. But if you look up conquer, you look up images of conquer on the internet, and you find tons of stuff, like workout stuff, lifting, whatever. And I've kind of adapted that not only physically, but also mentally and spiritually as well, to try to keep me positive, give me motivation, regardless of what struggle I'm facing, that I'm gonna conquer it. Last year when we were going through this, at work I'd spend a lot of time walking around whenever I had free time and just praying to God and asking for mercy. And there was one time where I was standing out back on the dock, and I was reminded of, I don't know what the verse is, but where it says that He will renew, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings as eagles. And I was like, oh, what's that? And I was like, oh, there's an eagle. And it was so cool. We look at those, we call those God things. That's the Holy Spirit working in us. And another time, well, It was August 3rd. I don't remember specifically what happened that day, but I remember it was that day because it was Leah's birthday, and we always let our kids pick where they want to go to eat. And Leah always picks Chinese because she loves Chinese, and Ethan hates it. We tell him, hey, we don't complain when you pick, so you can't complain when she picks. But this is, I don't know if you'll be able to see this from back there, but this is what my fortune cookie said that day. Tough times never last, but tough people do. For whatever that's worth, that meant a lot to me on that day. So I'm going to leave that there. Do we have a song? This is our time to share prayer requests, praises. If you have something, the mic will be brought to you.
This is Tony Colt. Just wanted to request prayer for two families. One is Eli and Irene Kilmer. She passed away. Would have been a good friend of our family. And also the Norman Hahn family. Norman Hahn passed away. Just keep those families in your prayers. And thanks for the message this morning.
Thank you. This is Loretta Gockley, and I ask for continued prayer for Emily. She continues to struggle with back pain. So we ask that that can be removed. And also, she is relocating to Pittsburgh today for 4 weeks. So you can remember her. She will literally be living in the hospital for the next 4 weeks. So just be with her as she makes that adjustment and also deals with the pain.
This is Steve. As you're probably well aware, this month our church is providing groceries and Bible studies for the men at Freedom Gate. I'd like to challenge you to be involved in that. I think the guys that have been down there from our church would agree that it's an inspiration. It's an opportunity to see faith lived out in a environment, in a place, and in a way that we're not very familiar with. Most of the men have come from backgrounds where they did have faith in their lives, at an earlier time in their life, but made some mistakes. And so every time I can't help but think, there but for the grace of God go I. So while we provide groceries and Bible study leadership, the inspiration comes from them. So I would encourage you to be involved. This Tuesday and next Tuesday, you'd have that opportunity. This Tuesday, well, the next couple days are very busy for me. Tuesday, I actually have an eye procedure right before the Bible study, so I'm really hoping not to have to lead a Bible study after, not even sure I'm going to be able to. So if you feel like the Lord may be speaking to you, that this is your chance and your opportunity, I believe He is speaking to you. So please, anybody that's interested in leading the Bible study, see me after church and meet us here 6:30 on Tuesday.
As a science teacher, I feel like I would be remiss if I didn't remind you to pay attention tomorrow afternoon at 2:42. But don't look straight. My husband said why. But don't look straight at the sun, please.
This is Lisa Souter, and I just wanted to thank you for your message this morning. And I just felt led to ask for prayer today. I struggled with pain in my knees for a long time, and I just ask that you would pray for me and Randy as we just seek different options, because I have severe arthritis. And so just pray that God would be with us in the pain.
Now is the season for college kids to go back to school, and Rachel left Thursday, Lydia's leaving this coming Friday. Let us pray for, and Bethany's here, but we're going soon, and just ask you all to pray for our grown-up kids.
Okay. If you can, please stand. We'll have prayer and then I'll have the benediction. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. We thank you for who you are, for your promises to us, for the glory that you have in store waiting for us, Lord God. And God, we just pray for all the prayer requests that we have received here this morning, those that have been spoken and those that have remained unspoken as well. Pray for Eli and Irene, for the family of Eli and Irene as they and Norman Hahn's family as well, as they go through the struggles and the adjustments of losing a loved one, Lord God. We just pray that you would be near to them, that you would Fill them with your Holy Spirit, your Comforter, Lord God, and bring them peace. We also want to pray for Emily and Lisa as well, as they deal with some physical issues with back pain and with Lisa's knee. We pray for those around them as well, for good counsel, encouragement, support. But most of all, we just pray for your hand of healing, Lord God, the great physician. And Lord, we also thank you for the opportunities that we have to interact with individuals who maybe don't know you or who have experienced rougher times than we have through Freedom Gate. And pray specifically for Tuesday. Trust that you were laying it on someone's heart to come in and help out there. Pray for Steve that with his involvement, I pray that you would bless him with all that he does there as well. And God, we also want to pray for all the kids going back to school and the young adults as well in college, and pray that they would, that you would keep them safe, that you would guide them, protect them physically and mentally and spiritually, God. Help them to, in spite of all the busyness, to still find time, to still make time for you, Lord God. And now, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.